We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. And Adam, I have some bad news and I have some good news.
Okay.
The bad news is things didn't go the way the Tar Heels wanted on the field. Although, as we're going to talk about, I don't think you leave this game like sad of the state of the program. Notre Dame's better than Carolina right now, and eventually they showed that as the game went on, but I also thought Carolina held its own. But I'm getting ahead of myself, Adam. That's the bad news, that Notre Dame won 31-17. The good news is, Adam, it is indeed Friday, and we, as we always are prepared for this situation.
It's Friday.
So, yes, Adam, it's a little bit of a sad Friday because the Tar Heels didn't win. However, you can be frustrated the Tar Heels lost the game. I just can't imagine you leave this game going, "Oh, Tar Heel football, Mack Brown, Tar Heels, what's happening?" Notre Dame's better than Carolina right now. And Brian Kelly's in his 11th year in the program. And that consistency, that experience, I thought showed that level of physicality. We use that word a lot on the radio broadcast because I thought it was relevant. Because I think what this game boiled down to is Notre Dame was better than Carolina on the two lines of scrimmage. I think the Heels would match their wide receivers up with Notre Dame's wide receivers and feel okay. They'd match their quarterback up with Notre Dame's quarterback, who, don't get me wrong, was very good, and they'd be okay. They'd probably match up some DBs with the Notre Dame DB and be okay. Notre Dame's front, offensively and defensively, is more mature and experienced and talented and mature both physically and in just game age, and I thought that was the difference in the game.
Brian Kelly has been at Notre Dame since 2009. That's the year after Mack Brown won the national championship at Texas. That That seems like a very long time ago.
That's not quite right, but I'll let you roll with it. Mack Brown won at Texas in 05.
In my heart.
I think they lost in the title game.
I think you're right. Okay. That's the year after Mack Brown played for the national championship at Texas, which would have been his second.
Yeah. Well, Colt McCoy got hurt on like the third play of the game. But who's counting?
You know what I do know is that Brian Kelly's been there a long time. And you said the key thing about maturity. You can get a young skill player and put him right in. It's very hard to go find a young left tackle and put him right in. It really helps when you have seniors and graduate students and older guys on both lines who are 23 years old going against 19-year-olds. That makes a difference. And it made a difference on Friday. And I think that was much more of a program game than a season game, and that Notre Dame's program has just advanced to the point where they win games like that. That being said, I surely would have liked to have seen what would happen in that game with a full Keenan Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Because Carolina started so hot, I think that would have helped. I think just the noise, in it, just, you know, because Notre Dame was backed up a couple of times where they had to start deep in their own territory. Both teams did. And I think that's where the crowd really can make a difference, is in a situation like that. I think there were some calls that, and I'm not saying this is why, there were some calls that were close that went against Carolina that I think if you've got 50,000 people booing, that maybe that subconsciously makes a little bit of a difference, and it would have been a wonderful atmosphere. And unfortunately, the 3,500 people who were there cheering on the Tar Heels were awesome, but that's 3,500 compared to 51,000.
Just hate for that opportunity to go by without getting the opportunity to really play it the way you wanted to, like every home game at Keenan Stadium last year. Because you don't get a ton of those opportunities, but what you hope that one does is get you closer to playing more of those games. If everything goes well, Carolina is going to be in more of those games. And you hope that a lot of young players got to play on Friday, and that what they learned and saw against Notre Dame pays off perhaps in 2021, 2022 against someone else, a Clemson or whoever is the flavor of that year. That's the way this game helps you down the road, because obviously you lost this game today.
Ian Book, I thought, was really good, Adam, for Notre Dame. And in the very Ian Book way of, you know, he's not the prettiest looking quarterback in his uniform or in the pocket, and he makes some decisions that really make you shake your head, I think, probably if you're a Notre Dame fan. But he just figures out a way to do what needs to get done. And I thought Carolina had a good plan defensively. I thought the Tar Heels, I know the final stat sheet is going to say that Notre Dame ran for 199 yards and that Notre Dame gained 478, which all those numbers are higher than the Tar Heels want. I thought the Tar Heel defense gave Carolina a chance to win the game. That's what they needed it to do. For the most part, they were able to bracket Ian Book, and if he did get out of the pocket, it was he wasn't doing it running free. It was because somebody was chasing him with a good chance to bother him, and a lot of times when he did that, he was throwing the ball away. I thought Carolina had a pretty good plan defensively and did a decent job, but there were times where Notre Dame just opened up a big hole to run through up front, or Ian Book made a crazy. I mean, that play where the touchdown where the snap was low and Miles Murphy's coming at him and Book like turns his back to the end zone. And that was just a great play by him.
And same thing on the third down play in the fourth quarter. Notre Dame's got third and five. Carolina's getting some pressure on Book. They might finally get to him, and he somehow backhand tosses the football across the middle of the field, doing exactly what every coach tells you to never do. And when he let it go, and even while the ball was traveling in the air, I thought, we're about to see a legendary Keenan Stadium play, because Carolina's definitely going to intercept that, and they might run it back for a touchdown to tie up the game. And what few people are here are going to go crazy, but somehow it ends up in a completion. And he made all those plays when he had to. And, you know, the Notre Dame offense isn't as attractive as Carolina's offense, but they did what the Tar Heels couldn't do. They went on a 97-yard drive that basically won them the game in the third quarter. And Carolina could never put anything like that together in the second half.
That penalty on that drive was a killer. I do think if you're going to leave this game, because I think a lot of times you leave games and it's, oh, this play or this. I didn't think there was a whole lot of that in this game. I thought it was Notre Dame's defense in particular was just better than Carolina's offensive front in the second half. That's the story. But if there was one play, it's that. It's the jumping offside on fourth and one where I don't think Notre Dame was going to snap the ball. I think they were probably either going to take a delay penalty or and just punt it away. And instead, Carolina just got too aggressive and undisciplined, which is something I don't think the Tar Heels are in total, but they were on that play, and it really hurt them.
And I feel like that's become the book on the Tar Heels over the course of this season. And I think sometimes that happens when you're playing a lot of younger players. They just get so excited that it's fourth and one that they just can't quite help themselves. And I think Virginia took advantage of that a couple times. I think Notre Dame figured, we got a veteran team. Let's line up and see if they'll do it, and if not, we'll punt it. It's fine. And the Tar Heels handed it over to them, and then they proceeded on down the field and what felt like a really important drive. But Mack Brown, when he was talking to you after the game, said that was an inexcusable penalty, and he said everyone in the stadium knew they weren't going to snap it. Well, not everyone, unfortunately, and Carolina gave him a first down.
I thought something, because Carolina had 9 penalties for 90 yards, and I thought something that Mack Brown said really made sense. I didn't think about it in the course of the game, but when he said it, it made sense, which was that if you're just overmatched, which, again, I'm going to be honest, I think Carolina was a little overmatched at times on the defensive front versus the offensive front in particular, that you're going to get some fouls every now and then. Because you're not quite as good, and so you might hold a little bit where you normally wouldn't. I thought some of the fouls in the secondary were tough ones. You know, there was a defensive holding late in the first half where the flag came out really late after the ball had very clearly been thrown way away. There was the pass interference on Tony Grimes. There was certainly contact. I thought the Notre Dame guy had fallen down and then Grimes kind of fell over on top of him. But, I mean, and I could be wrong. But some of those were tough. 9 for 90, though, you can't play Notre Dame, a team that you're not as good at right now, and handle that.
Especially when Notre Dame's getting 4 for 24. They were the more mature team in terms of committing infractions and making mistakes. They didn't turn the ball over at all. They didn't commit any, well, they weren't flagged for any very hurtful penalties. And that puts you behind already. Because I think for Carolina to beat Notre Dame in this particular season, Notre Dame's probably got to turn it over a couple times. They've got to give you or shank a punt or do something that gives you an unusual advantage, because I just don't – basically, those two teams just lined up and went at it in that game that we just saw. And I think if that happens, Notre Dame's going to win most of the time right now.
Kind of reminded me – not exactly the same, don't get me wrong. But that 13-0 game against Florida State in 1996 or something, where Florida State was just better, but you could see that Carolina was getting closer – and I feel like that was the case. Like, Notre Dame came here 3 years ago and won 33-10, and I'm not sure that game was even as close as that score suggests. And those were two teams in two very different places. This year, 31-17, so not a huge difference in the score, but I felt like the teams were much closer. And so it just, again, and I'm not trying to, Adam and I aren't trying to be Pollyanna or, maybe that's not the right term. We're not trying to put just rainbows on everything. I just don't think you should leave this game being mad. Be frustrated that Carolina, you know, didn't force a turnover or didn't protect Sam Howell as well as you wanted or have that silly offside. But don't leave it going, man,
the Tar Heels aren't getting there, because I think they're getting there. They have to keep going, but I think they're getting there.
I didn't leave there frustrated about the loss to Notre Dame. I did leave there frustrated about the loss to Florida State and Virginia.
Yeah, because Carolina's better than those two.
That Carolina team is better than those teams. And that's what hurts you right now in terms of the season. I mean, if you're sitting here at 7-2, you feel a little differently than at 6-3. So I think you said exactly right.
So let me give you one more not as good, and then I'm going to give you a couple goods. I thought Sam Howell was as uncomfortable in the pocket as we've ever seen him. And we talked about this with Brian Simmons in the post game, and Brian was quick to say, which is correct, that this isn't something negative about Sam Howell, but this happens to every quarterback. When you are getting as much heat and as much pressure and hit as many times as Sam Howell was, at some point that plays a role, which is why every defensive coordinator in the history of football wants to go hit the quarterback in a clean way. But I did think you saw that today, where Howell just wasn't, even on some times where he maybe had more time to throw or had a guy that he normally completes it, and he just wasn't as accurate, because I think it was hard for him to be as comfortable as he normally is.
I thought you saw that even early when things were going well. There was a pass to Daz Newsome over near the Notre Dame sideline when he had Daz Newsome, but he threw it a little too hard and a little too high. And it was like a pass a normal quarterback would make. and that's jarring when you're used to Sam Howell, who puts it in the exact right spot every single time. And when he threw that pass, I thought, he's a little – there's some heat. And he feels like he's rushed, because he normally would not have put that much on that ball, and it would have been a little lower. But that's what the Notre Dame defense did to him.
Now, the good side, Adam, in addition to just some of the stuff that we've talked about, that, I mean, this was, I mean, Notre Dame wins by 14. It's really a one-score game or a tie game for a large majority of this contest. I think the Tar Heels really have a good young receiver in Emory Simmons, made that wonderful touchdown catch early in the game. And who knows who's back and who's not back. Daz Newsome is a senior. De'Ami Brown is a junior. So who knows what's going to happen with anybody on the Tar Heel team as far as the eligibility stuff. But I think they have a good young receiver in Emory Simmons that will be a part of a good receiving core for the next year or two. And this isn't sexy, Adam. I mean, I am, but this isn't. Ben Kiernan was awesome today. Our boy, former pod guest Ben Kiernan, if Carolina had somehow won this game, I think you go, a big reason they won was the field position that Ben Kiernan kept forcing Notre Dame into, because he was so good in the kicking game.
And I still think that part of the reason why the storyline is going to be the Carolina defense was better is because Ben Kiernan was giving them the ability to have a little bit of cushion.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they had to stop Notre Dame from going 50 yards. That's tougher. Notre Dame was having to go 70-plus every single time because old Ben Kiernan would just run one way and then punt it the other way. Take that, Notre Dame.
And then it would hit the ground and roll for another 20 yards, and then the Tar Heels would down it.
Well, remember, he talked about that on the pod, about how if you punt it at the bottom of the ball, you get a more favorable roll.
But Ben Kiernan knows.
Well, he must, because it worked. And Carolina special teams as a whole, really more on the kicking side. Grayson Atkins made the field goal. Jonathan Kim, great job kicking off. Everyone who was kicking the ball, I thought, did a very solid job, solid enough to have helped Carolina win the game.
I thought there was a time or two on the punt returns where I think if Daz Newsome could do it again, he would catch it. There was one time where it's hard to say. I mean, he was on the 10, and you're not supposed to go and catch it if it's inside, but it hit it like the 9 and then was down at the 3. And then there was another one, I can't remember. He let it go over his head maybe at about the 40, and it ended up, you know, rolling another 18 yards or something. And so you thought, oh, Carolina might get pretty decent field position here, which they needed something to get them going offensively. And instead, they were right back to where it seemed like every drive was starting, which was in the wrong quarter of the field for the Tar Heels.
I don't know to what this should be attributed, but in all returns, Carolina looks a little unsure to me. Never quite sure, is this a fair catch? Do I want to run this back? Even sometimes in the punt return game when they call for a fair catch and then end up having to make some weird going down to my knees to catch it play, they just look not quite certain. And I suppose that's why the coaches have basically told them fair catch everything, because you don't want that uncertainty if you're trying to field the ball and run it.
Adam, what am I missing? What else is there? What else do we have here? I don't think this is a super nuanced game. I think it's pretty clear what happened. I do think it's going to be interesting to see now for the Tar Heels, and I said this on the postgame radio, just how they finished this year out. Because this was the game that you had circled. It didn't go the way you wanted. Carolina is going to be a heavy favorite against Western Carolina. And then has a big game after that against Miami. But I think it's worth noting, and Mac Brown has said this, I mean, the Tar Heels started in August. Their first practice was like August 6th. It's going to be December before they play again, and we're still in the regular season. So this has been a long grind of a year. And, you know, the Tar Heels aren't going to make the ACC championship game. Who knows what's going to happen with bowls? I mean, the Pinstripe Bowl just recently was canceled. That's the third bowl with an ACC tie, which has canceled. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. No one does. So I will be interested to see how Carolina comes out. What do I think is going to happen? I think Mac Brown has the culture of this program to the point, and there's a lot of young guys who are hungry to keep getting better. I think they're going to come out and be locked in and play great. I would expect them certainly to beat Western Carolina and then have a great game with Miami. But there are those outside factors that I think you at least have to acknowledge and recognize might play a role.
And we don't have the game times for either Western Carolina or Miami.
Why would we? Adam, why would we?
I do think that Miami game is going to be a who wants to be there more game. On December 12th, with neither team more than likely going to Charlotte, that's going to be one where there's a chance one team may not be overly motivated. And I would not expect that team to be the Tar Heels.
I was going to say, if that's the situation, and I don't mean this in a negative way towards Miami, then I think you feel good if you're Carolina. Because I do think Mac Brown has the culture of the program in a really, really good place for stuff like this.
Well, and Miami's got some hurdles to clear other than football.
They got to figure out old man COVID.
So I think you don't know yet how you've come away feeling about this season. And I think the same thing about this season is true about the basketball season. When you're looking at that record, you got to remember it's not padded like it usually is. 10 conference games and one non-conference game, which hopefully Carolina is going to get to play, is very different than the usual schedule where, you know, you say 8 wins is a good year, and I think people are still using that bar for this year. Well, this year is different.
Yeah. Adam, what else?
Several listeners pointed out when the sticks broke that wouldn't have happened with First Down Laser. Son of Odell, Charlie Bailey, Rusty Sebastian, all quick to tweet that would not have occurred with the lasers, or what would the procedure be if the laser was inside the stick that broke? Could you quickly move it over to replacement stick?
I have to say, credit to the officials for having those backup sticks just like right there. Is that normally the case, or is it just the case in COVID land that that you can keep a backup pair of sticks just lying on the sideline?
I've never seen a set of sticks get broken as much as that one got broken.
It happened in one other somewhere else this year. Remember, did we start talking about First Down Lasers because of this? That one of the it has definitely happened, not necessarily to the Tar Heels, but it happened in some game this year where the first down stick got bent, broken in half, as this one did. But they were quick.
Can you not make the first down stick out of something that bounces back to form a little easier than whatever it's apparently made out of?
I thought when you started talking, I thought you were saying like you wanted it to be sterner, stiffer.
Oh, no.
But I don't think you want that.
That's too risky.
But, yeah, you want something that has a little give.
It needs to be able to bounce back.
Yeah.
But luckily, and that chainsman immediately knew where those backup chains were, and he went right over there and picked them up. Boom, here we go.
I was impressed that that was like a 20-second delay, and that was it.
Oh, we've seen crews where that could have been a 30-minute stoppage.
Yeah.
This crew had other things on their mind.
Yeah. Tony Grimes started and played the entire game at corner. I thought he played pretty well. I mean, it's not like they went after him a whole bunch. I mean, there was at one point in a key defensive possession where Carolina had Miles Murphy, I think either Pinder or Hester, Kamen Rucker, Conley, Grimes, Cameron Kelly, who's a sophomore. I mean, it was a bunch of freshmen and sophomore out there. So I think that should make you feel good. The Tutorial defense is not where it wants to be right now. It's going to be a lot better. They're getting some guys up front that are going to change the Tar Heel defense.
And I think you're already starting to see some of them are not on campus yet.
Right.
But some of them who are will be citing games like today, a couple years from now, when they push around another team and say, that's when we started learning how to do it, when Notre Dame did that to us.
So, all in all, Adam, not what the Tar Heels wanted, but not the end of the world. I do think Carolina, the Miami game in particular, again, you expect the Heels to beat Western. They have to go do it, but you expect them to do it. The Miami game, I think, is going to really determine a lot on how you feel about this season for Carolina, fairly or not fairly, because I think regardless, Carolina's made steps. But I think from the outside, that Miami game is going to be a big determining factor.
I think there's a decent chance that's your bowl.
Yeah. I mean, I really do wonder. And this is pure speculation, and I think I may have said this before. Like, I wonder if they're just going to have the New Year's Six bowls at some point. Now, the only thing is ESPN wants its TV.
Right. I wonder if you might have the New Year's Six and anything that's in Florida, because Florida will do anything. They don't care. We'll have all the bowls there.
Yeah.
But
can I ask you, Adam, what's, like, the bowl game? And Mac Brown, again, he may feel totally differently about this, so this is not the Tar Heel perspective on this. But you're not going to go have the experiences. There's not going to be any fans there. The season's already been long. Like, what are the benefits? Outside of it, I can see, like, again, like the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, I got it. I mean, those are those bowls. And there's a good chance the third place team in the ACC gets to go to the Orange Bowl, because if Notre Dame and Clemson are both in the college football playoff, it's going to drop down to the third place team. So, I mean, if Carolina got that chance, of course it would take that chance. It would go play that game. But outside of those, like, do you want the Gasparilla Bowl? You know?
Well, and none of your seniors are playing in the Gasparilla Bowl.
I'll be interested to see. And again, maybe the Tar Heels feel totally different about this and they can't wait. I don't know. But on paper, it seems like right now it would be weird if all the bowls occurred.
Yes. And we're already seeing some drop.
Right. I mean, already for ACC, we mentioned this, it was the Fenway, the Pinstripe. Like, how are we just, we have the Wrigley Bowl soon.
They tried to have that. It didn't work out.
And the Holiday Bowl, which the ACC is tied into.
Of course.
Good old Holiday Bowl. So, anyway. Okay, Adam, unless you have anything else.
No.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you, we're going to have Ben Kiernan get us out of here with the See You Later Big Grits. I don't think there's any question about that. But, so, next game broadcast is basketball. That is Monday at 7 o'clock. So that has caused some drama, Adam, with the Mac Brown Show. Because normally that's Monday at 7 o'clock. Mm. Well, at first our plan, and I think I even said it on this podcast, was that we were going to run the Mac Brown Show right after the basketball game that night. Unbeknownst to me, there's some kind of crazy engineering issue that makes that really hard to do. Mm. Don't ask me what it is. Something about logs and timing, and I don't know. Mm. But so
Apparently that's hard. It's easy for me to say that, but it's not as easy to do. So the Mac Brown Show is going to air on the radio on Tuesday night. But here's the tricky part, Adam. We don't know when the Tar Heels are going to play on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. But here's the good news for you, the Carolina Insider subscriber, is that we are going to have the Mac Brown Show is going to be pushed out per usual on Monday night. So if you're just itching to hear the Mac Brown Show like you normally do, you want to hear it Monday, it's going to be available on demand through the podcast channel that evening.
It's like a sneak peek.
Yeah. So that's coming next week. Tar Heels play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in basketball. But we only know the Monday time, of course, because it's the tournament. So 7 o'clock on Monday. Then the Heels play Saturday football against Western Carolina. Don't know that time. Pod-wise, there is a pod on Tuesday. Roadhouse Challenge, Space Jam, coming on Tuesday. And we will have a normal Friday pod where we preview Western Carolina, break down what happened in Nashville, etc. Am I forgetting anything, Adam? There's a high chance, a high likelihood that I am. I can't think. Oh, how'd you think the post-game pod went after College of Charleston?
I thought it was much like Tony Grimes and the other young Tar Heels. It showed some potential. We learned some things that'll help us in future games.
Yeah.
And there were some parts of it that you can really build off of. It was nice being able to talk to Caleb Love after his first game as a Tar Heel. CB McGrath's part was great.
Yep.
And you and I were average.
Yeah.
And
that's about best we can hope for.
Yeah. But I thought it was a really cool way to break down the game from a Carolina perspective. And I think it'll get better as the season goes along.
So again, that's available in video form after home games. I know for sure Facebook and Twitter. I think on Go Heels, maybe YouTube also eventually. I don't know that. And the audio, is the audio worth sending out, Adam, on the podcast feed? I think it is.
I think so. Because I think some people don't have time or the inclination to watch the video.
Right. So, and I think a majority of it translates. The audio does. So, I mean, and by that, I mean, it can play in both formats. Some of what CB's doing, it's obviously harder and audio only, but we thought it was still worth it to send it out. Okay. All right. Adam and I are done just talking about stuff. We're going to let Ben Kiernan and the RZA get us out of here. And we'll see you next week on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Ben Kiernan. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
Box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.